Last Sunday night, I gave a message about teaching unbelief. And we talked about the book of Daniel a little bit. And I was told you how God had began to show me some things in Scripture about teaching unbelief. Tonight is going to be another one of those, of how we are taught unbelief. One of the reasons that I really think that God is starting to show me some things about how we teach unbelief is because in those areas in your life where there is wrong belief, there is no faith. In those areas where your doctrine is off, there is no faith. And so one of Satan's primary goals is for us not to live up to who we are as sons and daughters. And so wherever he can get folks like me to teach you things that are not in agreement with what God has said in his word, or they'll take scripture and make it look like this is what God intended, then he is slowly but surely eroding our faith. Tonight, we're going to take a look at Job. But before we do, turn to Job chapter 1, but then also turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. One of the things I want you to understand is this. There's a difference between knowing something and then being able to tell someone else why you know that something. So tonight, if what I share with you is not new, maybe it would help you be able to share this with someone else. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 2. He says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." So my goal tonight is to share with you what God has been sharing with me, and hopefully I do it in such a way you will be able to teach others also. So in Job chapter 1, now we know in Job, it says Job chapter 1 verse 1 says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was perfect and upright and one that feareth God and eschewed evil." So in other words, he and God were on the same page. If he was perfect and upright and he hated evil, he and God are on the same page. Now jump down to verse 6. "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord." I'm going to hit this quick and then I'm just going to continue going, okay? There are a lot of folks who believe that the sons of God were angels. They are. These sons of God in Daniel were the same sons of God back in Genesis chapter 6. They were not. Pastor has a whole teaching series on that, okay? So for tonight, when you see sons of God, think about they were created beings. God was their source. Sons of God, created beings. God was their source, okay? So now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." Where have we heard that before in the New Testament? In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. That is Satan's M.O. He's walking up and down in the earth, okay? Now, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says, he's doing that so that he can seek whom he may devour. But that's a teaching for another time. Look at verse 8. "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou not considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect man, an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about him, God, and about his house, and about all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the works of his hand." Notice how Satan is describing God. "Thou hast blessed the works of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power." This word power is hand. It's the same word as hand that was used earlier. "Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Jump down to chapter 2, verse 1. "And again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. A quick side note. If you ever want to know why the angels, the sons of God, gather before God, he's telling you. They were giving reports. They were telling God what they had been doing. You see that? Because each time God asked Satan, what you been doing? So if he asked Satan what you been doing, guess what he's asking the sons of God? What have you been doing? I don't charge you anything for stuff like that. That's Benny's, okay? Just because you showed up, you get that, okay? Now, verse 2. Then the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all the earth? A perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath would he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to the face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord, and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. Jump down to verse 10. But he said... Job's wife, verse 9, Then his wife said unto him, Dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. Because it's obviously, my husband, you've done something wrong that this is happening to you. So just go ahead and curse God, get it over with, and die. Verse 10, But he, Job, said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaking. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And all of this, did not Job sin with his lips? Now, we have been taught God allows Satan to do certain things. Is that not how what we've been taught from that record? Well, tonight, I want to give you a visual image of what we have been taught. Because it's very important. It's one thing to say that God allows Satan to do things and that Satan can't do anything without God's permission. It's one thing to say that. But let's see what that looks like. And as you see what it looks like, I want you to think about how that makes you feel about your Heavenly Father. Now, I have asked one of the most gracious women that I know to be God. Martha, would you come up, please, ma'am? Now, before you sit down, come right here, please. Now, for those of you who are looking at this on the internet, Martha is one of the individuals who provides music for us. She's talented on the organ, she's talented on the piano, and then she's gracious on top of that. So I just want you to know that she's one of the folks you hardly ever get a chance to see, just like Judy Nelson, just like Alice. You never get a chance to see these folks, but they're the ones who really help us with the worship, okay? Now, I said all that to butter God up. Notice God's office is always open. Okay, Satan's office is open whenever I have devoured someone, my office is open. Okay?
Satan.
God. Oh. See, I really don't want you to hear what God has to say to me. We really planned this out very minute detail.
Satan.
God.
Looks like you've had a busy weekend.
Yeah, I got some big plans this week.
Okay, let's get started.
This guy here has money problems. I want him to lose his job so he can go on unemployment and lose his home.
I will allow it.
Yes. Okay. This woman, she's been sleeping around, and I think she deserves the AIDS virus because of her sin.
I will allow that.
Two for two. I got this 6-year-old God who likes to play with his ball in the front yard. Today, he's going to lose control, and it's going to go into the street, and the boy is going to be hit by a car.
Uh-uh. No, I will not allow that.
Why not?
It's not his time. When his time comes, we'll talk.
Oh, man. Okay. All right. This guy here is always smiling and telling people how much you love them and how good you are. Now, since you won't put anything on a person that he can't bear, I want him to have a series of problems. Heart attack, wife leaves him, loses his job, you know, the typical stuff.
No heart attack, but I will allow his wife leaving him and him losing his job.
Thank you, God. Thank you very much, Martha. Give Martha a hand, please. I wanted to do that. I wanted to give you a visual of what we have always said and what we have always believed. We have said over and over that God allows things to happen. Thank you, Jenny. And that Satan can only do what God allows him to do. Is that not what we've been taught? Is that not what we have been taught to believe? Craig, if I could get you and Cindy to help me, please. I deliberately held back my notes so I could do this. If you all would make sure everyone gets a copy, please. When you're sitting there watching what we did, I don't know about you, but it really didn't make me feel the best about my Heavenly Father to know that he's sitting there with Satan, and in a couple of places, he's negotiating with him. Okay? And the negotiation is about something that's going to harm us. Okay? But when you read the record in Job that we read, that's how we have been taught to interpret that record. Okay? Now, let's look at the teaching that we just looked at from Job chapter 1, verses 6 through 12, then chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. The teaching says God allows, approves, give permission for Satan to attack us. Okay? Is that not what we just saw in the little skit that we did? Satan is God's instrument of suffering in our lives. I mean, after all, God allowed it. So God and Satan are working hand in hand. God and Satan agree upon the pain, suffering, and tragedy that Satan inflicts. Is that not what we saw in this example? And one more, both good and evil come from God. Is that not what Job said? Okay? One thing that you will come to understand as you read the Old Testament, everything that they said in the Old Testament was not necessarily true about us in the body of Christ. Okay? Now, how has Job been used to teach unbelief? God takes a hands-off approach to what happens in the realm of the natural. Okay? Because God is stepping back and says, okay, I'm going to let Satan do this. Okay? Satan operates within the boundaries set by God. God says, you can't kill him. The first time God says you can't touch him. And then the second time God says you can't kill him. Okay? So Satan operates within the boundaries set by God. Remember, we're talking about how we have been taught unbelief. I'm going to get back to this stuff, okay? The third thing, whatever happens to us, good or bad, is God's will. And then finally, sometimes God's allowed bad things to happen to us to get our attention. That's what we've been taught. But you know something? You don't see that in the book of Job. Well, we taught that. God does bad things to us to get our attention. But we don't see that in the book of Job, okay? Now, let's look at some key observations about Job. Job had a sin nature, okay? And we're going to get more into that in just a minute. Those of us in the body of Christ, we do not have sin natures. We have the life and nature of our Heavenly Father, okay? Job was oblivious to what was happening in the realm of the Spirit. He had no clue that Satan was attacking him because he says, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Is that not what he said? And he said to his wife, listen, we expect good from God. Why shouldn't we expect evil? He was oblivious to Satan. Okay? Job could not defend himself against Satan's attack. Why? He had a sin nature. He did not have a life nature like God. He couldn't defend himself against Satan. Okay? Job was perfect and upright before God, and this gave God what he needed to protect him. Remember, I didn't read this, but in chapter 1, in verse 5, it talked about Job offering sacrifices just in case his children sinned. Okay? And we know that according to the law, that when you sinned, you offered a sacrifice, okay, so that you would not have to suffer the consequences of sin. Okay? I'm not making this up. You all know this, right? Okay. Okay. Also, another key observation is God did not stop Satan's attack. You want to know why God did not stop Satan's attack? Because God is a God of justice. He can no more take away Satan's freedom of will to do what he does than he can take away our freedom of will to do what we do. You see that? Okay? God gave Satan specific instructions about what he could and could not do. Why did he do that? Because Job had a sin nature. Job could not protect himself against Satan. He had a sin nature. Get that in your head. That's why God put the boundaries on what he wanted to do. Let me clue you guys in real quick, real quick. Satan was going to do what he was going to do anyway. Okay? Get that in your head. God says, no, I am going to let you go so far because Job is a perfect and upright man and he eschews evil. So I'm going to only let you go so far because Job has done everything else I want him to do. You're not going to kill him. You see this? God says you are not going to kill him. Okay? Now, let's go back and read this again with a different pair of eyes. And then we'll get to the questions. Because I want to show you some things. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also with them. Verse 6 of chapter 1. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for naught? Hast thou, God, made a hedge about him, about his house, about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and the substance, and his substance is increased. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to the day, to the face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, is in thy hand. Only upon himself put forth not thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. What do we see here? Satan says in verse 11, put forth your hand and he will curse thee to the face. Right? But what does God say? God says he is in your hand. You see that? God said he's in your hand. So what God did then, God had, remember, God, Satan says, hast thou not made a hedge about him? Cindy, come here for a minute, please, ma'am. I'm going to be God, okay? Anybody got a problem with that? Okay. Okay. Now, it says God made a hedge, has put a hedge around Job, okay? Think about my hand being blessing. Okay, so as long as Job is under my hand of blessing, there's a hedge about Job. You see the picture? Okay, so what Satan wants me to do, he wants me to take away my hand, and by taking away my hand, I take away the hedge for Job. Do you see that? That's what he's asking God to do. You remove your hand and give me access to him. I don't have access right now. Give me access. So God has to move his hand in order for Satan to have access. Okay? That's what he had to do. Okay? Thank you, Cindy. So that's what he's talking about here in this verse. Now, you may be sitting here thinking, now, God had his hand of blessing on Job, and so he removed his hand of blessing on Job so that Satan could attack him. Okay? Now, let's think about this for a minute. Think about it long and hard. If I'm God, okay, and see, the whole focus of this record is that if you remove your hand of blessing God, Job is going to curse you to the face, okay? Well, with me being God, I have an advantage. I can see everything that's going to happen. I know that if I remove my hand, I know exactly what Job is going to do. Satan doesn't know that. And so God knew, because he's all-knowing, he knows beginning from the end, he knew what Job was going to do. And he knew how Job was going to respond. Okay? So he knew that Job was going to worship him in the face of all that was going on. And Job was not going to say anything against God in all that was going on. Okay? Because remember, the attacks are going to come. Okay? The attacks are going to come. So the image here is God is showing you what happens when his hand of blessing is on your life. What happens when your hand of blessing is not on his hand of blessing is not on your life. Okay? That's the image I want you to see. Now jump to chapter 2. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and forth in the earth, from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God, escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity. Although thou movest me against him, you want me to move my hand of protection away from him, to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord, say, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath, he will give his life. But put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone in his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, where is he? In thine hand. God didn't put forth his hand. He was in thine hand. Okay? Now, let's look at the questions. Is the book of Job part of the Old Testament or the New? Okay. Does Job chapter 1, verses 6 through 12, and chapter 2, verses 1 through 6 apply to those of us who are born again? You know what? I'm not hearing much conviction. Let me ask this question again. Does Job chapter 1, verses 6 through 12, and chapter 2, verses 1 through 6 apply to those of us who have God's life and nature? No. And you have to know this, guys. You have to know this. If you're sitting here thinking that maybe some of it does and maybe some of it doesn't, you don't know the difference between having a sin nature and having God's life and nature. Okay? You want to see what I'm talking about? Okay. Let's do this. Look in Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to show you who you are in Genesis chapter 1. Now, look at verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he male and female. What is God's image? John chapter 4, verse 24 says God is spirit. Okay? God's image is his life and his nature. Verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Okay, so we see here in Genesis chapter 1, who had dominion? Adam. There was only one person greater in dominion than Adam, that was God. Adam had dominion. Okay? Now, look in chapter 2. Look at verse 15. And the Lord took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. This word keep means to guard, to protect, to keep things out that should not be in the garden. Okay? What does this say to you? Adam could take care of himself. Do you see this? God says, Adam, you have my life and nature. You have exactly the same thing I have. You take care of the garden. I'm not doing it. You take care of it. Okay? But what do we see in Job? Job, that Satan says, you, God, have made a hedge about him. Why? He had a sin nature. He no longer had God's life and nature. Do you see that? You know, Genesis chapter 2 is before Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3 is when everything went to, okay? So before Genesis chapter 3, who was in charge? Adam. Adam. Could Satan do anything to Adam that Adam would allow? No. 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 Satan shows up in chapter 3 because Adam allowed him to show up in chapter 3. If Adam had kicked him to the curb immediately, there would have been no chapter 3. Do you see this? Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is important, guys. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Lord, help me make sure I say this stuff right. Look at verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. Why was the first man, Adam, made a living soul? Because God breathed into him the breath of life, and then Adam became a living soul. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Okay? The last Adam, Jesus Christ, was made a quickening spirit. Okay? He came from the factory with God's life and nature. God didn't have to breathe it into him. He came with it. Okay? That's why he was a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is of the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. If Jesus is the second Adam, and we saw what Jesus did, and he was the second Adam, Jesus, you know, healed lame legs, blind eyes. Don't you think the first Adam could have done the same thing? Like Cindy said, except there wasn't any. But don't you think if he was the first Adam, then he functioned, if Jesus was the second Adam, he functioned the same way the first Adam did? He had dominion and authority over everything. You see that? Jesus came to fulfill the law. And by fulfilling the law, he made it available for all of us to then become sons and daughters of God. Okay? So we got Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, and we have Adam. God says, the garden is yours, you guard it. You don't let any, you're responsible, Adam. Anything that happens in it, I hold you responsible. So we got Genesis chapter 1 and 2, then Genesis chapter 3 all the way to the end of the Gospels when Jesus is crucified and raised again. Okay? Then once again, it became available for us to be just like Adam. Okay? Are you seeing this? Okay, are you seeing this? Because it's important. See, Job was not like us. He was not like us. He had no clue what was going on in the realm of the spirit. We're going to see in a few minutes. I'm not going to keep you too long. We have a clue of what's going on in the realm of the spirit. Okay? You know why I give you notes? So you can go back and get into your prayer closet and spend some time with this stuff, okay? Now, look, and we're going to talk about Satan for a little bit, not long. John chapter 10. we all know by heart. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And Jesus says, I am come that you may have life. And not only am I coming to give you life, I'm coming to give you a life that's more than abundant. Now see, a lot of folks have taken that verse and they have said that this abundant life that Jesus is talking about, money, cars, you know what that abundant life he's talking about? God's life and nature. That's the abundant life he's talking about, because before then you were dead. You were dead. Until you confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, you are D-E-A-D. Exclamation point. So he's talking about the abundant life he's talking about is God's life and nature. Okay? And we talked about 1 Peter a little bit earlier, when Satan walks about seeking whom he may devour. Okay? Seeking whom he may devour. Now, so we see Satan, how he operates. Let's see how God operates. And again, if this is old stuff to you, that's okay. Let's take this stuff and be able to teach others also. 1 John chapter 1, look at verse 5. John writes, this then is the message. Everything that's written in 1 John, this is the message of 1 John. Okay? Which we have heard of him, and we declare it unto you. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. None. Nada. Zilch. Okay, that's what he's saying. There's no darkness in God at all. Now let me ask you something, ladies and gentlemen. When God was sitting up here negotiating with Satan, can you say that there was no darkness in that? If he's negotiating whether or not something bad happens to you, hey, there's some darkness somewhere. If he's going to be negotiating that, Scripture said there is no darkness in God at all. So how can we say that the things that happen to us in life, God allows it to happen? If we are now like the second Adam, Jesus Christ, we have his life and we have his nature. Jesus was like the first Adam, who had God's life and nature. And the first Adam was told, you take care of the garden. That is your responsibility. You have all the authority, all the dominion to do that. Then why do we accuse God of letting things happen to us? When is it within our realm of authority and dominion to stop it? Do you think it was by accident that God told Paul, when he was talking about his thorn in the flesh, my grace is sufficient for you? Do you think that was an accident? God was telling Paul, listen, hey, I don't need to do anything, Paul. I have given you everything you need to deal with this issue. You have to deal with it, Paul. I am not going to deal with it. I can't. I've given you the power, the authority to deal with it. Did Job have the power and authority to deal with anything? Job didn't have a clue. He didn't even know Satan was running roughshod over him. He thought it was God. And you notice in Scripture it says Job did not speak against God. Wait a minute. I know. I fell off the milk truck yesterday, but it was not early. Now, did it not say that God says, that Job said, Lord give them, Lord take it away, blessed be the name of the Lord? Did it not say that Job told his wife, if we're going to expect good from God, why not bad? Did I miss something? You know why Job didn't speak evil against God? He had a sin nature. He didn't know any better. When you read the Old Testament, guys, one, maybe two times, Satan or a demon comes up. He's silent in the Old Testament. There is nothing written about him in the Old Testament because they couldn't do anything about him in the Old Testament because they had a sin nature. They couldn't fight against him. That's why we had the sacrifices. Okay? The sacrifices were the covering. That's why they did that. Because they couldn't fight against Satan like we can. Like we can and often don't. I'm sorry. I said too much. I'm sorry. Look at 1 John chapter 4. Look at verse 16. It's a verse you're very familiar with. It says, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us." Okay, we've known and we believe that. Now, when God was sitting here agreeing with Satan, that's not showing me much love. If he's going to let me have a heart attack, or not going to let me have a heart attack, he's going to let my wife leave me and let me lose my job, that's not showing me any love, God. Come on. Okay? But that's how we have portrayed him. Okay? God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, as who is? You can say it. It's okay. Say it loud. God, as he is, so are we. Blasphemy. No, it's not. As God is, so are we. So are we. Look at Matthew chapter 10. We talked about Jesus a little bit. In Matthew chapter 10, look at verse 1. "And we had called his disciples unto his, when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he," Jesus, "gave them power." The word power is authority over unclean spirits, to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Why did Jesus have to give the disciples authority? They had a sin nature. You know, when you understand sin nature versus God's life and nature, a lot of scripture opens up to you. They had a sin nature. Now, would Jesus come and tell Barry, "I'm giving you the power and I'm giving you the authority to do this, 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 and this"? No. I already have it. Now, just because it's not evident in my life doesn't mean I don't have it. Just because I pray for someone and the healing is not evident does not mean I don't have it. You see what I'm saying? Just because it's not being seen in your life at this point doesn't mean you don't have it. You just hadn't done enough to get the flesh out of the way so the power of God can move. That's what that means. Everything Jesus had, everything Jesus did, we can do. But we have work to do, guys. We got work to do. We can do everything Jesus did. And if it's not happening in our lives, it's not his fault. It's not God's fault. I can't blame my wife. Can't blame my children. Only thing I need to do is go look in the mirror. And look at the man in the mirror. And I know exactly why the life that God has given me is not manifesting like God wants it to manifest. Very, very easy, very simple. We're getting close. Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, verse 1. "After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two by two before his face into every city, whither he himself would come." Okay. Look at verse 17. "So they went to every city. And the 70, when they returned," verse 17, "again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through his name." Was the devil subject to Job? No. No. The devil was not subject to Job. He's subject to us. He's subject to us. That means that if things are happening in your life that are not godly, then you are not walking in the authority that you were born with when you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If there are things that are happening in your life that go against what you read in Scripture, I got news for you guys. It's not God allowing it. You are the one allowing it. You are the one allowing it. So you need to stop acting like, you need to stop blaming God because you are not willing to do what is necessary to stop these things from happening. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. Okay, did I go to, yeah, verse 20. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven. That's what it's all about. That is why the spirits were subject. Their name was written in heaven. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, a verse you're very familiar with. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, no, that's not right. It's 2 Corinthians, I'm sorry, chapter 3, verse 18. It says, but we with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as the Spirit of the Lord. What Paul is saying is that as we work to conform to the image of Christ and we look in the mirror, we're going to be seeing less and less of Barry and more of Jesus as we do what it takes to conform to that image. And as we do what it takes to conform to that image, then what we read about Adam guarding the Garden of Eden back in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, Barry can guard 3740 Crosswood Drive. That's where I live. Barry can guard 75 North Dixie Drive in Vandalia, Ohio. That's where I work. Listen, guys, wherever you are, that's where God is. So where you work, take ownership of that. You know, you're not going to close the place where I work, Satan. You can close everywhere else, but you ain't touching this place. This property belongs to me and my Father. You have that authority, guys. God has given it to you. What's the difference between you taking authority over where you work and Adam taking authority over the Garden of Eden? None. When hurricanes, stuff, Hurricane Alley, you know, things like that are starting to swirl around here in Dayton, people getting all upset. I don't. I said, you're not touching my place. He got close one time. There was a branch on top of the roof. That was the best he could do. That's my home. I'm responsible for guarding my home. You are responsible for guarding your home. You are responsible for guarding your children. You are responsible. You have that authority. You have that authority. Things happen in our lives because we do not exercise our authority. God has already given it to you. He's not going to take it back. When you get to heaven, he's going to pull out the book and he's going to say, Barry, you did a good job by protecting 3740 Crosswood Drive. Proud of you, son. Did a good job protecting 75 North Dixie Drive, Vandalia, Ohio. I'm proud of you, son. But you see this right here? You know, I gave you the same power I gave my son. You had the power to heal. You had the power to deliver people. You had that. But you know what? When you pray for such and such, they didn't live. Barry, I love you, but that was on you. That one was on you. Because see, my expectation is that, you know, when Jesus prayed for someone, they got healed. I expect the same thing of you, Barry. So when that person died, that was on you. I love you, but you were not at a place in your life where I wanted you to be. Are you seeing what I'm saying? See, we think that this, you know, as long as we go to church, like Brother Jerry was talking about this morning, everything's going to be all right. You know what? God has a lot higher standards than that. He has higher standards than that. He wants you making a difference in someone's life. He wants you, when you pray for someone, miracle healings take place. They're just not limited to Benny Hinn. They're just not limited to Dave Robeson and to the late Oral Roberts, bless his heart, the late Kenneth Hagin. They're not, the healing is just not for them. It's for us too. They were willing to make the sacrifice that it took for God to show and shine through them. Are you willing to make that same sacrifice? Well, I can only speak for Barry. Obviously not, since it's not happening yet. Okay? So Barry now has to be willing to make the type of sacrifice that is necessary to see God's life flowing through him. I don't want to get to heaven and God tell me, Barry, if you had been at this place in your life, this wouldn't happen. If you had been at this place in your life, this wouldn't happen. You see what I'm saying? I apologize. I know this is not a fun message. I apologize. But you know what? The days of fun and joy are over. Over. Did we not hear Pastor tell us a couple of Sundays ago, maybe three Sundays ago, that Satan has released what? A spirit of murder. This is not fun and game, guys. We're not playing. We're not out for a game of softball here. If we were playing a game of softball and he's out killing, guess what? We're not in the spiritual battle. Okay? This is not fun and games. Okay. Ephesians chapter 6. Remember, Job was not aware of the spiritual battle. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, last set of verses. Are you guys getting anything out of this? Okay. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Look at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong. Where? In the Lord. And in the power of his might. If you're going to be strong in the Lord, you're going to have to spend some time with him. Okay? Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Could Job do this? No. No. See, the armor of God is only available for those of us who are washed in the blood, who have been cleansed, who no longer have a sin nature. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the methods of the devil. For we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care who is in your face physically. I don't care who's giving you a hard time in the realm of that we can see in the realm of the natural. We fight against the spiritual wicked. We don't fight against flesh and blood. It just looks that way. And as long as we can, as long as we focus on the flesh and blood, oh Lord, let me not say some things that I want to say. As long as we focus on flesh and blood, then we're going to continue to be the kickball that they just kick all around the playground. That's going to be us. Okay? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand, to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, you stand. So we see then, in this last scripture, that the big difference between us and Job, we fight our own spiritual battles. We know the spiritual battle exists. We know we have an enemy who's out to steal, kill, and destroy. We know this. Job didn't. Job didn't. Okay? So, as we end this up, what are the key points that I want you to take away from this? We have God's life and nature. Notice how it corresponds with Job had a sin nature. And it says, key observation on Job, Job was oblivious to what was happening in the realm of the spirit. We are not ignorant of the spiritual realm. Job could not defend himself against Satan's attack. We can defend ourselves against Satan's attacks. It says, God did not stop Satan's attacks. We cannot stop Satan's attacks. Get used to it. He's going to attack. He is going to attack. I don't care how spiritually mature you become. I don't care if you get to the point you can walk on water. He is still going to attack. So settle that in your heart. He's not never going to stop attacking you. And then if he gets to a point that he's attacking you and he's not getting the result that he wants, he's going to start attacking folks who you love. He's going to attack the folks you love. So Satan's attacks are always going to come. Okay? We can know when Satan's attacks are coming and exercise authority over them. In John chapter 16, and I didn't put this verse in, but let me get to it real quick. John chapter 16, I think it's verse 13. Yes. It says, howbeit, talking about the Holy Spirit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you to all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that will he speak, and he will show you things to come. So we are not ignorant of what Satan wants to do in our lives, folks. We are not ignorant of what he wants to do in our lives. So I hope you see that, yes, Job is in the Old Testament. What happened to Job was true. But what happened to Job and that interaction that God had with Satan, it doesn't apply to us. It doesn't apply to us. Martha was telling me when we were kind of going over that little skit that she had always been taught that, well, she had always believed that we were sort of like a chessboard. Satan was on one side, God was on the other side, just moving us around. And we had no control of it, okay? But we see, according to who we are, with God's life and nature, we have control. But see, for so many of us, we're not taking it. We're just letting him run roughshod over us, okay? So my prayer tonight is that you start walking in the authority that God has given you. You start living the life that God has given you. And you don't let Satan stop you from living the life that God has given you. And whatever it takes for you to get to the point in your life that when you pray for someone, they get healed, you need to do that. You need to do that. You need to get to the point that you know that God loves you and that there is nothing that he won't do for you. You need to get in your life that you know that. And see, when you get to that point in your life, guess what's not going to become an issue? Money is not going to become an issue. God loves me. He's going to provide for me. Money's not an issue. Okay? When I get sick and I need to be healed, that's not an issue because God loves me. Okay? God loves me. See, things like that will no longer be issues for you because you know who your Father is. And you know that you have the same life on the inside of you that your Father has. Isn't that wonderful? Everybody, please stand. One of the phrases that I used last Sunday that the Lord just brought to my mind was that the kind of teaching that we have just talked about, it keeps us living in the shadow. And we know that the Old Testament is a type and shadow, but it did not represent who God really is. And so we know that instead of living in the shadows, we are really the individuals who cast the shadow. And when you cast the shadow, then that puts you in a totally different position. Sell it in your heart, guys, that I'm a shadow caster and I am not the shadow. Because, see, God, he can't move through you the way he wants to move through you if you're living like you are the shadow. And there are too many things that have happened in my life that I realized that I was acting like I was part of the shadow. Because there are so many things that have happened that I did not want to happen. And so I've made a decision that I'm going to be the one who casts the shadow. Because when I stand before my Heavenly Father, I don't want to have any regrets. None. I don't want you to have any regrets. When you leave this life, I want all of us to be like the Apostle Paul. He says, I've run my race. I have fought the good fight. Now I'm ready to go home. That's using Barry's words. But I fought the good fight. I'm ready to go home. There's nothing else I can do. I've done everything God has asked me to do. Make a decision tonight that you're going to do everything God has asked you to do. So that when you go home and you see him face to face, you won't. There's not going to be any weeping and gnashing of teeth in your life. God's going to say, you did good. I am so blessed. You did good. And part of you doing good is taking a message like tonight, going back, spending time with the Holy Spirit to make sure that what Barry is telling you, he's heard from God. That's part of it. But then the second part of it is then you taking that and you take it to the people who need to know that God is not working against you. God is not in league with Satan. God is doing everything he can to help you operate as his son and his daughter fully. That's what this message is about, folks. You have to take it. You have to make it your own. You have to see things from God's perspective. Let's close with a word of prayer.